in the Department of Behavioral Sciences and Health Education at the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University. There it is. I'm also a CDC Foundation Fellow in the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity at the Centers for Disease Control, where I conduct my dissertation research related to early childhood obesity among low-income populations in New York City. And that's the study that I'm going to be talking to you about today, some selected results from that study that is ongoing. And what I'm going to be talking to you today is specifically components of that study related to television viewing in young children in that population. I have no relationships to disclose. That's probably common among those of us presenting in the student section. So here's a little background or overview of what I'm going to talk about today. Because we're in a mixed topic session, I thought I would talk a little bit more than I would maybe normally do about early childhood obesity just generally, and frame the idea of TV viewing as an important component to looking at obesity prevention in children. I'll describe the methods of the study that I'm going to report on today. I'll talk about some results and discussion of those results, and then try and draw some conclusions that might help potentially those of you in the audience that do intervention or research work related to early childhood obesity. And then if we have, we'll definitely have time for questions. We can thank our canceled presentation for that opportunity. So early childhood obesity. So when I say early childhood, I'm talking about children that are generally from birth through age 5, and my research focuses on sort of preschool age children, so 2 or 3 through 5. So obesity in children, for those of you that don't do this every day as I do, we can do a body mass index, which is a ratio of height and weight, and we can have absolute cut points for adults. They're finished growing. We can look at 18 and 22 and 25 and things like that you might have heard that are absolute cut points for how we would define an individual adult as being overweight or obese. But children are not like adults in many ways, and one of the ways is that they're growing. And so we actually take their BMI and we map it onto growth charts that are specific for the child's age and the child's gender, and we come up with a percentile score. So I've been practicing explaining this because one of my dissertation committee members has no background in obesity, and she was wondering how we can have more than 15% of kids above the 85th percentile, right? So I don't want to take for granted this this classification. So what we do with kids, we give them a percentile score from the growth charts, and then we say that children that are above the 85th percentile or at or above are overweight, and if they're at or above the 95th percentile, they're defined as obese. And so you'll see from this little chart here that I pulled, which is data from 2007-2008 round of NHANES, that a little bit over 21% of young children are in the box that should hypothetically only have 15% of kids, and 10% of those children are above the 95th percentile. So we should be seeing 5% above the 95th if you want to go back to the growth chart, but we have 10% in that box. And as many, unfortunately, as with many illnesses and risk factors, we have racial and ethnic disparities with Hispanic Latino children consistently showing higher rates of overweight and obesity in this age group. Okay, so that's a problem. And one of the things that we look at related to obesity is TV viewing. Now, I want to say that one of the most exciting things about working with this age group and obesity is that everything is a new finding. Everything is new. There's one study on this and one study on that, and it's exciting to be part of something that is so so new. And so research is beginning to show that television viewing is important for young children. We have a longer history of studying TV viewing and obesity in older children, but we've got some new research about younger children. And obviously, sitting in front of a television does not in and of itself make you gain weight. So the connection is mediated through a potentially a concert of factors. Some literature says it's that TV viewing serves as a replacement for more active ventures with kids, and so it's mediated through a decrease in physical activity. Some literature that says that television viewing alters metabolism, and that's how the relationship is mediated, or that TV viewing is associated, as many of us may know from our own lives, with unhealthy snacking, and so it's an energy in issue, or exposure to advertising, which for children's programming, unfortunately, is often for unhealthful snack foods or sugary foods. And there's one study that's talks about how it's mediated through changes in blood pressure. As I said, we don't know a lot about TV viewing in kids. One of the things we know from a few studies there is that children who have televisions in their bedrooms tend to watch more TV, and so we tend to measure that in research studies, and we tend to try and intervene in that point when we do interventions with kids of all ages. So the American Academy of Pediatrics says with kids through age 2, we don't want them watching any television at all. It interferes with not only physical growth and development, but also brain development in other ways. And that for children older than age 2, we really want to have that limited to 1 or 2 hours per day. And so those recommendations are kind of something upon which I develop my research. So what is my research? I conducted a self-administered written survey with parents from low-income neighborhoods in New York City, and the survey was available in English and in Spanish. We gave it to parents who had children that attended licensed daycare centers in the lowest income neighborhoods in New York City, defined as you see here, with federal poverty. So we're talking about New York City here, so it's a very expensive place to live. So these are the lowest income neighborhoods in the city. We were in 111 centers. We randomly selected one classroom of 3 and/or 4-year-olds, depending how the center was set up. We gave the survey to all of the parents in the classroom. The survey was 4 pages. It had items about nutrition, physical activity, screen time, which are the ones I'm going to talk about today, and some demographic characteristics that I'll also mention. The study was approved and then some by 2 different IRBs. Very ethical, I promise. So I present this to kind of ground the results that I'm going to talk about today. TV viewing is obviously a huge it's a behavior that can be measured and looked at in a number of different ways, and what I'm going to focus on today is the amount of television time that the children watch, and 2 different things that might be related to that. One is household rules about television, whether parents have household rules about television, and I assess that on my survey with a single item: do you have household rules about what your child can watch on TV? I did not ask what those rules were, although one of the parents checked the yes box and wrote in the margin, he only likes to watch things with horror and action. So not sure that these rules are always the rules we want, but I'm assuming that with my data today. And I also asked with a single item if there was a working television in the child's bedroom. And so I'll present results from that. For the amount of time the children spend watching TV, I asked 2 different questions. One to ask them about a typical weekday at home, how much television they watched, and the second item was about a typical weekend day. So you remember from the sampling for this study that all of these children attended daycare centers. Most of them attended that center for between 6 and 10 hours per day, and so the amount of time they spend at home was very different on the weekday and the weekend, so I wanted to make sure I captured that. And you'll see from the data that the children have very different TV viewing behaviors on the weekends. Okay, so I collected all this data, and then I did some statistics for the purposes of this presentation. All of my variables were collected categorically, and so I looked at predictor variables of child age, ethnicity, and then I looked at 2 variables that were relevant to the population. So again, I only surveyed low-income neighborhoods in New York City, in Queens, in the Bronx, and parts of Brooklyn, and Harlem. And so there was a high immigrant population in those communities. So we asked 2 questions related to one about the language that was spoken at home, and the other about whether the parent was born in the United States. And then I looked at these 3 things that I showed you on the previous slide. So how much TV they watched, whether there were household rules about television, and whether the child had a TV in their bedroom. And I used SPSS. I'm going to continue calling it that, despite them changing the name. So we were in, again, 111 centers, and we received 1,487 surveys back. And this was, we calculated a response rate for each of the centers, and then the average of that was about 78%, higher than we thought. We offered the parents an $8 voucher for the New York City subway system as an incentive for completing the survey, and that worked. So if you're interested in surveying this population, I highly recommend Metro cards as an incentive. As you see from the table here, I'm presenting ethnicity and age on this slide. The majority of the children were either Black, African-American, or Hispanic, about 43 in each of those groups. Very few of the parents who filled the survey out had children who were white. You see only 23 of the almost 1,500 and other races, including multiracial. And most of the parents who filled out the survey, their child was either 3 or 4 years old, which is reassuring since that's how we selected the classroom that we administered the survey in. So I mentioned that the survey was available in English and Spanish. A small number, almost 17% of them, were completed in Spanish. About half the respondents were born in the United States, and that means almost half of them were not. So that was, glad we asked that question. It was a good indicator of the population that we were surveying. And about half the respondents reported speaking English at home all of the time. The response categories for that question were essentially English only, English some of the time, and another language only. And you'll see that there's a little distribution there between those latter two categories. Okay, here's the slide you have come to see, potentially. So again, I split this up for weekday and weekend. So during the weekdays, over half of the children were watching 1 or more hour per day. So American Academy of Pediatrics again says 1 to 2 hours. These are children that are in childcare, and the centers in New York City are allowed to show 1 hour during the day. So I wanted to look at how many children watched an additional hour at home, which would be over the limit then for them. So over half of the children were doing that. And on the weekends, almost 37% of the kids were watching more than 2 hours a day, that bottom line of the table, and 71% of the kids were watching 1 or more hours per day from my survey. So we have those two questions that I wanted to look at related to TV viewing, which were household rules. And reassuringly, 89% of the parents said that they did indeed have rules. Again, I didn't ask what those were, although I will next time after that written in the margin comment. And 61.5% of the kids, their parents reported that they had a television, a working television in their bedroom, which is a little high for a low-income population based on some previous research. So I wanted to think about the demographic factors that might sort of, I call it predicting, but sort of be associated with TV viewing in the sample. And ethnicity was significantly associated with the TV viewing, both during the week and on the weekends, which you'll see on the next slide, with the Black and African-American children having the highest percentage in that more than 2 hours danger zone, says AAP box. And on the weekends, similarly, the Black and African-American children had the highest percentage in that high more than 2 hours box, with over 42% of the children watching more than is recommended. So I looked at some of the demographic characters, additional demographic characteristics related to TV viewing, and found that the language spoken at home and the whether or not the parent was born in the United States were both associated with TV viewing. Essentially, the bottom line with the language question was the more English was spoken, the more TV was watched. And with the born in the United States, the parents who were born in the United States, their children watch more TV than those born outside. And age was not associated, which is not surprising considering there was a limited range of age in the sample. So related to the household rules, as we would expect, children whose parents reported having those rules did watch significantly less television. So we can think about encouraging parents to have rules. Hopefully those rules are about time and content, but rules of any type help facilitate lower television viewing among children. And similarly, having a television in the bedroom did, in my sample, consistent with previous research, those children did watch significantly more television than children who did not have a TV in their bedroom. And I'm going to skip those. So just sort of in summary of all the slides and tables and things that I've talked to you about, my data showed that consistent with previous research, the Black African American children did watch more television than the children of other ethnic groups, and that's consistent with a previous study that was also conducted in New York State, which included some children in the city. Children with TVs in their bedrooms, and those that did not have household rules watched more television than their comparison groups. And as I reported previously, essentially the more English and parents who were born in the United States, those their children watched more television and more frequently reported having a TV in the child's bedroom. Interestingly, and I put that as sort of a side bullet, those parents showed higher percentages of household rules about TV, so the American-born parents were more likely to have the rules. So that was a bit of a difference from the other behaviors, and that age was not associated with any of the outcomes. Just a couple mentions about the limitations. I'm sure you can think of them as I'm talking. These surveys were only given to parents whose children attended daycare centers in low-income neighborhoods. We had 23 parents whose children were white fill out the survey. So obviously, I can't tell you anything about that population in New York. And it was a self-administered survey. Now, we did send it home. It was completely anonymous. We encouraged the parents to fill it out and fold it up and put it in an envelope and seal that envelope up before they returned it. That was trying to reduce social desirability bias, but we have no way of knowing if that affected the results. As any of you who know New York City know, they've done a lot of work related to obesity prevention, and so it is, let's just say, known in New York City among residents that TV viewing is something that you might not want to talk about related to kids. So my sort of final conclusion in this population, sort of building the evidence base that we're seeing grow from year to year related to early childhood obesity, that TV viewing is exceeding the guidelines in many children, and especially among African American children and among those who have English speaking households. And many children as young as 3 and even younger have televisions in their bedrooms. And I mention that explicitly because I know some of the interventions that are being tried with this population and with older children have been finding that it's much easier to encourage a parent not to put a TV in that room than to ever get that TV out once it's there. So if you're interested in designing interventions related to TVs in bedrooms, you need to start really early with parents when their children are potentially infants and talking to them about not putting that TV in that child's bedroom in the first place. Here's some of the references that I've talked about. I'm happy to provide them to anyone after. And this slides are also available on the website. And I just wanted to acknowledge my amazing dissertation committee and my chair, Hannah Cooper, folks, collaborators from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and my collaborators from CDC and Robert Wood Johnson, and of course the student section for inviting me to talk to you today. And my contact information is listed there. Does anyone have questions? Yeah.
I had several questions.
Sure.
I'm just curious, how many of those kids were above the 97th percentile? Or was it just 95 and above?
Well, so my survey was not limited to overweight and obese kids. In fact, I did not ask the parents about the weight status of their kids because this survey is connected to a larger study that did weight and height measurements of the children whose parents filled out the survey. And while I can't comment on that study because it's still in the analysis phase, later on we'll have some ability to look at actual height and weights and actual BMIs of the kids. But I didn't look at that for the purposes of this discussion of home behaviors and TV.
The other question I had was, when I was looking at that, you're talking about like early, this is new, well, there's not that much research on early kids.
Yeah.
If you didn't look at the content, I just think because a lot of times, and I don't know if this is in this population, but I know, when we had our daughter young and her friends and all, they would get like the baby wise stuff or the really young stuff, so it doesn't have, how would you know if it was like DVD or VHS stuff, content that was controlled versus you know, the Nickelodeon stations or something like that. I mean, I'm just wondering, and then also the other question is, at this young age, are they, can they still be influenced by, if they were watching general cable or, you know, air, can they be influenced by the commercials and then do the pestering of the parents when they're shopping when they're only 2 years old? And do they know the difference?
Well, I think, as I said, there's not a lot of research in this population, so I don't have any, you know, finite things to say about either one of your points. I mean, I will say that beginning with 2 years old of children starting to see the advertising for unhealthful foods is, starts to build a brand loyalty that young, and I would say the marketing researchers know that, and so that's why you'll see those kinds of advertising with young kids. And your first, the first point of your question just escapes me. I should have had a pen. Can you repeat it again?
It was sort of connected with the content versus...
Oh, yeah. DVDs. Yeah, so I think I showed the items where I did ask them to report television, DVDs, and things like that all total as sort of TV viewing, which did not include computer use. And I did ask that question about whether or not they had rules about the TV to try and split apart... that was sort of my proxy for, are they watching stuff for kids or not, right? Because AAP says we only want them watching up to 2 hours, and whatever they watch is, needs to be age-appropriate, you know, educational material. So I did ask that. I had a couple other questions that I did not present the results for you today about whether the parent watches with the child. And another one, which is also escaping me, so I tried to get at that without, I mean, it's difficult to ask a single or a couple questions about the content of what the child is watching. That's an excellent question. Are there questions I can answer briefly? And I'm happy to stay after and talk to anyone. Yes?
This is a principal question. So the Metro currently, you can
yeah.
Your IRB, or both IRBs approved that, and didn't see it as sort of coercion?
Well, it was $8. It was a four-page survey. It had 47 questions. Yes, both IRBs thought that was not coercive. And the parents really, really wanted it, in my experience of being up there. I wasn't in all 111 centers myself, but our data collectors that were there said that was a super motivating factor for the parents in completing the survey.
But if you didn't use it for them to sign the consent form or anything
No. Once they returned a completed survey, they were given the card. There was no consent because the survey was anonymous, so it was sort of, there was a consent page, but there wasn't a signing of that. We also had the parents, we asked the parents if their children would be willing to be enrolled in the additional study that I briefly mentioned before, and that had a signed consent form, and there was no incentive for that, and these two were presented to the parents separately. Okay. Thank you very much.